Well, good morning, everybody. Again. Wasn't that amazing worship? Oh my goodness. How many of you love the presence of God? Let's give it up for our worship team this morning. You know, I love people whose hearts are tender to the things of the Lord and are not fearful to express them, you know. It's just, it's really beautiful, isn't it? And just before I get into Psalm 19, you know, this was a rough week for in the life of Pastor Linda, because I don't know if many of you know this, but we purchased skates, ice skating, and we went last Monday on our day off. We had a beautiful time, and she only fell twice, and I once fell when I was trying to pick her up on top of her. I fell, and we were laughing, so all the people on Memorial Drive, if they were walking by or looking out their window, they would have seen two grown-up people, well, it's kind of grown-up people, and lying on and laughing, and so we thought, this is fun, outdoor skating, so we put it in Facebook. We said, if anyone wants to go skating on Tuesday night, we'll meet you at Lee Park at 7 o'clock. So there were eight of us that were there, and for Linda's first time around, the ice was rough, you know, it wasn't as good as the day before. And she went like this, straight up, landed on her backside, smashed her head on the ice, has a big bruise right here, and a big bump on her head, and she had a sprained wrist, and the poor girl. So I really like ice skating, and I don't want her to fear that anymore, so we're going to get her a hockey helmet, and I'll wear one too, and yeah, I'm going to wear one too. Hey, I want to go skating with you. It's something very special, you know, so, and it's a lot of fun. So on Tuesday night, I was, think about this for a second, here I am, you know, one of the pastors in the church, and I'm going around the skating rink with some of our young kids here, and we're having a race, and we're playing tag, and we're skating and everything. You don't think my heart is happy? Oh my goodness, it was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like I was going skating with my grandkids, you know, and it was like, what? It's so amazing. So good morning, and I hope, I trust you are enjoying this series of messages from the book of Psalms. And Psalm 19 is a treasured psalm. It's written by David, where he proclaims God's existence. And I love God's existence. When I drove up north and I had five and a half hours just to take in the beauty of our province, and even though there's no leaves on the trees and everything, you just know that it just within a couple of months, it's just going to be gorgeous. It's going to be beautiful again. And so David proclaims God's existence in this psalm. And Psalm 19 is rich in theology because it illustrates God, that God is the magnificent artist of the skies. He is the magnificent artist of the skies. No matter what you heard, get your mind on this picture right now. He is the magnificent artist of the skies as we look up. And David tells us in the psalm that God wants his people to know him personally. Isn't that amazing? So we look up at the artist of the skies, and then what happens is from that, we determine that he wants to know us personally. Is that too much for you to even fathom? It is for me, but it's beautiful. And God reveals himself in creation, in the scriptures, and in the heart, as in your heart, as you worship him. He reveals himself in these areas. So the first point I want to talk about is the witness of nature. As David pondered the majesty of the heavens, the Spirit of God opened his heart to understand that we refer to as God's general revelation, meaning general revelation means that in the skies declare God's glory. So whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, the skies declare his glory, his existence, and his creative power. Amen? And we could have confidence in that. And David, from this, he was awestruck. He was awestruck. I love it. I'm going to use adjectives that are like, he was awestruck. Is awestruck an adjective? As he witnessed the wonders of the sky. How many of you have witnessed the wonders of the sky? It's the wonders of the sky are incredible. You know, why do you think that Linda and I, on a day off in the summertime, that we have a little fire pit in our yard, and sometimes we'll stay out till 12 o'clock at night? And, you know, it's not so much that we like the campfire, we do, but to sit there and to look at the sky, and sometimes it's just beautiful, the majesty of God. It proclaims the message of God's glory. Amen? And the definition of God's glory can be defined as honor. It could be defined as splendor. It could be defined as greatness. But in relation to God, the concept of glory is something far more than that. Often it's a manifestation of his presence. And I sense that there was a manifestation of his presence this morning in this house by the way you responded as we were singing, as we prayed for each other, as I opened my eyes and I saw people just come to the front and come to the altar, here, praying there, praying here. You know, it's a manifestation of his presence. And whenever some aspect of God, his character, his nature, his power, his holiness, his majesty is illuminated, it's called glory. It's called glory. When the very essence of God is manifest in part or in whole, it's glory. He manifests his glory. Amen? And words themselves cannot convey the glory of God. Words cannot really convey the words of God. All the adjectives that we can collect, magnificent, marvelous, amazing, awesome, dazzling, blinding, radiant, splendid, wonderful. All those words are really, if you think about it, they're inadequate. They're inadequate. God's glory cannot be described. It must be witnessed. Amen? And witnessed is when we look up to the heavens. When we look up at the heavens, we witness this. And this is what David is trying to tell us in this. And when he got it, it became something so deep within his spirit that he wrote this for us today so maybe that we could catch it. Maybe we could get it. Maybe we could get it into our spirit that when all we have to do is to look up and we will understand what the glory of God is. Because it can't be described. It has to be witnessed. The heavens proclaim the fact that there is a God. There is a God. It proclaims that. A personal being greater than the skies who created and ordered everything. There is a God. And God has revealed himself to every human being through his creation. He has. So number two is the specific witness of God's word. Now, nature reveals to us that there is a glorious God, amen, and a glorious creator. We can't deny that, okay? We cannot deny that. But Scripture reveals God to humanity. And God has given his holy, inspired word that we might know him and that we might understand his purpose for our lives and for the world. So we're walking and we see the God of the skies, the artist and everything. And then we have the word because we are convinced that there is a God. There's an artist who created it all. And then we get into the words. And what happens is we understand the plan that he has for us. We understand the plan that he has for the world. And he has given us this so that we would understand the purpose for our lives and for the world around us. And Scripture begins precisely where nature leaves off. God immediately introduces and identifies himself in Genesis number 1 as the creator, doesn't he? So Scripture picks up right where nature is left off, and it talks about himself as the creator. And God begins his word immediately by answering questions raised by the witnesses of nature. Who made all of this? Who made all of this? See the differences that some of you have been in school, and what happens is when we talk about creation like this, what happens, there's always a second opinion, that debate. You know what? I don't have time for that. We're in church. We're Spirit-filled people. I'm just talking about the glory of God. There's no other option for me. Okay? There's no other option. If I'm going to spend time looking at the other option, then I'm going to spend less time worshiping our awesome God. Amen? So it's a non-starter conversation for me, at least here. So who made all of this? How did it come to pass? In this passage, David sings the praises of God's wonderful word. How many times have you done that where you've taken the word and then you started to sing the praises of the word that you're actually ingesting as you're reading it? And this is what David is doing. He's reading the word here and he's singing the praises of the word. I could just see he's reading, oh God, how majestic is your name. Oh God, your law is perfect. It's a source of conversion, of salvation. David states that both the law is perfect and it converts the soul. It converts the soul. That's amazing, isn't it? I'll tell you, I don't know if you knew this, but I had someone in my office this week who gave their heart to the Lord. Okay? I'm telling you, I was reading some scripture into this person's life, and the blinders started to come over, and I knew what I was preaching. God's law is perfect. It's the source of conversion. It's the source of salvation. And David states that it is both perfect and it converts the soul. Amen? So God's word is the complete revelation to humanity. God's word provides everything that God wants us to know about everything that we need to know for this life and in preparation for eternity. How many of you, when you first gave your heart to the Lord, like Linda and I, we were discipled so well, they told us, they said, this is just a journey that you're on here, it's not even that long of a journey, and what happens is you're being prepared for eternity. Amen? And today, we don't want to think about that. But if you're in the Word starts to prepare your heart for eternity, preparation for eternity. It's perfect. It also means that it's flawless. Every word, every statement in the Bible is true. It's true. And the first great benefit of Scripture is that it leads us to turn to God. How many of you this morning really, you need to turn a little bit quicker to God? Okay? We need to turn to God. And the Scripture, the benefit of it, is that it leads us to turn to God. And Scripture tells us everything we need to know about salvation. God's perfect law reveals our sinfulness, that we need a Savior Jesus Christ. God's testimony is trustworthy. It's the source of wisdom. And God's witness in the Word is sure. Okay? You can believe it, and you could build your life upon it. Amen? Amen? You could build your life upon it. It is a solid foundation. It is a solid foundation. What happens in a house when the foundation starts to decay or crack or whatever, and it allows all sorts? How many of you have had a cracked foundation where water has been pouring into your house? Okay? It's not fun. It's not fun. Well, you know what? You shouldn't have a crack in this foundation either to allow the things of the world to care. That's where we put the protection of God on us. Amen? It's a solid foundation. It won't crumble, but it'll stand the storms of life. How many of you have had storms of life? All of us. God's word will support you, will hold you up in every situation that you face. Do you believe that? Okay? Will hold you up in every situation that you face. The second great benefit is that it gives wisdom. It gives wisdom. How many of you need wisdom? I need wisdom all the time. Think about this wonderful truth. Nature reveals that there is an all-wise God, one who designed and created this intricate, magnificent universe, and Scripture reveals God's amazing wisdom to humanity. Through God's Word, every person has the privilege of gaining wisdom from God Himself. No one's above this. We all have this same privilege. And God will not force His Word on us. A person must take action. God will not force His Word on himself, or Himself on anybody. He just won't do it. He won't do it. So if you're not connecting, it's not His fault. You know, Jesus stood face to face. Listen to this. Jesus stood face to face against Satan in the wilderness, didn't He? In Matthew 4:4, and He says, and Jesus declared, He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, Jesus' quotation here is from Deuteronomy 8:3, and it is a reminder that every one of us in this room this morning needs the Word of God, that it is the source and it is the substance of life. It is our source and our substance of life, right? It's not the meal I'm going to have after the service. This is the Word of God is the source and the substance of life. So David, he outlined the benefits in Scripture. First, in verse 7, it's the source of salvation. Verse 7 again, it gives wisdom. Verse 8, it brings true joy to life. Verse 8 again, it enlightens our eyes. Verse 9, it stirs us to fear the Lord. God's Word is alive and it's powerful. It is inspired. What does this mean? It means that it has been breathed by God, given to us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not just another book. It's God's book. It's God's book. And through it, He is revealed. He has revealed Himself. His undeniable love for us and His purpose for the world and all of mankind. It's perfect. It's true. It's authoritative. It's trustworthy. It's sufficient for every human need. It's sufficient for every need that is here this morning. It is sufficient for every fear that is here this morning. It is sufficient for every healing that needs to take place this morning. It is sufficient for everyone whose heart is hard towards God that will soften it so they will welcome Jesus Christ into their life. It is sufficient for everything. It is just sufficient for everything. So, may we, this morning, Gateway family, like David, treasure, love, and appreciate God's Word. Okay? Can we do that? Okay? Really. And when we read it, we study it, we meditate on it, and obey it, we please the Lord and enjoy the fullness of God's blessing through its life-changing power. It has life-changing power. We see the great glory of God in the sky and the great grace of God in Scripture. And these revelations call us to a relationship with God. And when the truth of nature and the truth of Scripture penetrate our minds and our hearts, we cry out to God. That's the ending of this psalm. David cried out to God. And these revelations, I call them, of God, and when the truth of nature and the truth of Scripture penetrate our hearts, we cry out to God. We have no choice. We cannot cry out to God. We cannot do that. We long to be clean, purified from sin, in order that we might know Him personally, that we could please Him, that we could walk in fellowship with Him. Cry out for forgiveness in verse 12 of that Scripture. Scripture teaches us that God has activated the conscience of every human being. Okay? God has written on it His holy law in every person's heart, including those who have never seen a copy of the Word of God. The teaching of this passage is crucial because every person is without excuse before God. Every person is without excuse before God. God has revealed to every person their sinfulness and accountability to Him. And those who do not have the written word, and this comes up often in conversation, those who do not have the written word will be justly judged by God according to the knowledge that has been given to them through nature and through their conscience. Okay, but there's still a judgment. Okay? And for us, those who have God's written word, we will be judged according to the more complete revelation that we have received through Scripture. And when we comprehend God's revelation, that we see ourselves as unclean before Him, we must cry out to God for forgiveness. And David longed for complete forgiveness. He wanted no sin standing before him and God. Wow, what an inspiration. What a way to start the day. Oh Lord, I know that David was who David was, and David is no, and David's life story is not, and there's parts of it, Lord, that I don't want to be like. But Lord, when he changed and he turned his heart towards you, and he wrote these songs and these poems and everything, and he stood before you and he says, Lord, I don't want anything to be before you and I. What an inspiration for my heart to start my day, to start my week, to start my life. Amen. And for you as well. He didn't want to just speak about the law. He praises the law. He praises the Word of God, describing its excellent qualities and benefits, describing it as perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, and firm. And David pled with God to cleanse him from all his sins, including those that he didn't even know he had yet, and sins that were hidden from his own awareness. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verses 23, says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Now it's amazing that God speaks to us. Isn't it amazing that God speaks to us? You know, how many of you here this morning, sometimes you say, well, God spoke, so you hear someone, God spoke to me, and you roll your eyes at that person. Okay? Don't do that. God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the skies, he speaks to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing that God speaks to us. Men and women are sinners, and many have no desire to listen to God, yet he continually speaks to us. God speaks to us. How many of you remember now when you look back before you made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could look at instances where you could say, God was speaking to me. Show me your hands where God was speaking to me. He was showing himself to me. Amen? Is that amazing? It's like, is that simply amazing? Oh my goodness. He was speaking to you before you gave your heart to the Lord a few weeks ago. God's wisdom, power, and glory are seen in his creation. And David looked at the marvels of heaven and he saw God. And God makes himself known through creation and through the law, which is the word of God. And although God reveals himself and his ways through creation, David acknowledges that he still lives in some measure of ignorance, particularly when it comes to his own sins. Can anyone relate? He realized that he does not have the resources to know himself or to control himself completely, so he asked God to help him. I need you, God, every single day. He concludes this powerful prayer by asking God to accept his words as pleasing. Lord, accept our words as pleasing this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that our worship unto you this morning was pleasing unto you. Lord, I pray this morning that my attitude coming into this place this morning was pleasing to you. I pray, Lord, that my attitude towards my wife this morning when I woke up was pleasing to you. Amen. He concludes this. He offers his thoughts and meditation to God. Meditation means thinking about God, about what God's word says. So ask yourself, in closing, what God is saying to you about himself and what he wants you to do in response. So what is God saying to you about himself this morning? And what does he want you, how does he want you to respond? And David tells us that God wants to know each of you personally. He reveals himself in creation, in the scriptures, and in your heart as you worship him. Amen? Amen. Good word? Amen. Are you encouraged? Okay, so stand up with me for a second. I'm going to ask you a question. You know that's coming. Melissa, would you come, please? And worship team, would you come too? That last song you sang was incredible. Maybe we can do that. Was that the Alabaster Heart? No? Okay, then the one before it. Okay. Aren't they wonderful? Are we blessed? We're blessed. Are you thankful for the freedom in this house? Are you thankful that we could be free to be ourselves? So let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you over here were encouraged by the word this morning? Show me your hands. Keep your hands up. How many of you were encouraged by the word this morning? Okay. Thank you. Now my question to you is this. Yes, you were encouraged. How many of you are ready to really apply that moving forward? Not to be encouraged for the moment. How many of you are wanting to really commit to going deeper in that and really applying it to your life? Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? Look around at each other. Okay? Start to just go like this and just thank God for each one, and just wave a blessing and a prayer over all your brothers and sisters. Just say thank you. Just say thank you to thank the Lord for everyone here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you all of our struggles, Lord. In a church this size, we know so much about each other. We know our pains, our hurts, our joys. We do all this, Lord, and we just speak a blessing over each other. Continue just to speak a blessing over each other.